When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Garibaldi Red, a Nottingham Forest podcast brought to you by Nottinghamshire Live.
Hello, welcome to Garibaldi Red as we break the emergency podcast glass for a second episode of the week in honour of Nottingham Forest finally, by the look of it, landing Morgan Gibbs-White, their top transfer target for much of the summer. John Percy and David Ornstein, two respected journalists, of course, are reporting that Forest have agreed a fee for Gibbs-White with Wolves. So I'll just read out the details out in a minute after I introduce my guests to discuss it all with me. Michael Temple. Temps, how are you?
Yeah, good. John Percy's become like a regional Fabrizio Romano, hasn't he? As soon as he tweets, it feels definitive and you get excited, as do I.
Well, he'll be Fabrizio Romano when he gets a million burner accounts that just literally copy and paste it. I've blocked so many of them this summer. It's ridiculous. Yeah, there's too many. But you are right. So if John says it, it's happening. I don't think. I think my colleague Sarah Clapson's been writing about it as well. Now the news is broken. So good news, interesting news. And we'll talk about that and we'll get on to the Everton game a little bit as we go along. So I'll just read out the details of the fee as reported. It's 25 million up front, 7 to 10 million in likely add-ons, another 7.5 million or so in ambitious ones. I don't know what that means. I mean, does he have to win Love Island, you know, complete football manager? I'm not sure to actually make that happen. But if that all comes off, it would be about £42.5 million. That is a lot of money, Temps. How do you feel about it? When you break it down, do you feel a bit more comfortable with the initial sums or alarm bells going off for you?
Well, you almost want to pay the add-ons, don't you? Because that means he's had a great season. If they're related to goals, assists, final league position, let's say an ambitious add-on is, you know, a European place or whatever, then Forrest is savvy enough to know that the deal is justified. So I had a good little ding-dong the other day with Fletch talking about not wanting Forest to become the Bank of England club, which is what Sir Alex used to call Sunderland. Anytime he needed to offload someone or John O'Shea or whatever, he just knew they'd pay the best price. But that's not what we're doing. We're not reacting to players that are being offered to every club. This lad was top of our list, top of Steve Cooper's list. So I think the fee is entirely justified because more than just being a signing of a lad we've courted for a long time and caused us a lot of problems last year, this is backing for Steve Cooper and affirmation that the plans he's laid down are being backed. And yeah, a bit of pressure now as well, right? He's got the boy he wanted. He's going to integrate him into a system. And I've got absolute faith that he'll get the best out of him.
Yeah, you make a good point about Cooper. And I think, you know, people have conjecture about who's actually signing, who's wanting these players to get Cooper's target. And it's obviously been so long that obvious for so long that this is the player Cooper wanted. It makes me feel a lot better. And hopefully it means he signs that contract as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does, doesn't it? This is a signal to Steve Cooper that he's loved and that he's got the backing of the ownership in the same way he's got the backing of the fans. So massive from that perspective. He'll also know his character. We've spoken about Morgan Gibbs-White for so long, haven't we? I feel like a lot of what's been said has already been said. But the intel we were getting from the club weeks ago, Matt, was that Forest were going to do whatever it takes to land Morgan Gibbs-White. They were going to pay the asking price that had been quoted. And when all those moves were afoot with the agents that hover around Wolves in particular to bring in his replacement, it just seemed like a bit of a PR move, didn't it? They weren't going to let him go until those incoming players signed on the dotted line, and now they have. Here he comes. So, yeah, long time in the making. Good signing for Forest. And beyond the 11 now, I'm sure we're going to have a nice little debate about the team for Everton and beyond, but you can see real depth forming and it's getting to the point where we've got players that can make an impact from the bench, which perhaps on Saturday was lacking relative to what some of the other teams in this league can do. So really excited from that point of view as well.
I was trying to think of some comparable deals to try and bring some kind of context to the fee. And I sent you a couple in the WhatsApp before we started. I think James Maddison is one. He's valued at around, say, 60 million by Leicester. 18 goals, 12 assists in 53 games last season. Fantastic return. Brennan Johnson, we saw last January, almost went to Brentford, or obviously they bid for him for around 18 million. That was in the Championship, and obviously he went on and had a brilliant second half of the season. I don't know if the Johnson one has too much context, but does the Maddison one add context of what you have to pay these days to get a player of, well, Gibbs White's hopeful standing?
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't sign Maddison because he's in a different phase of his career. He's established in the Premier League, and he's looking at different clubs who have probably got a more credible claim to finish in top eight. So where we want to be in five windows time is in that position when we can mix it for those players. But you have to evolve the squad. You have to go through a period of time of signing the players that are going to consolidate a Premier League position, elevate the Premier League position, and ultimately knock on the door of the top 10, top eight. And that's big ambition. That is massive ambition. But regardless of his stats, Madison's not the answer at this point in time because there's other suitors who are in a better position right now. Whereas Morgan Gibbs-White still has to prove himself in the Premier League, but he was quite dominant in the Championship, certainly caused us problems. And I think with the age that he's at and the age profile of all the players that we've signed, hopefully we're getting to a point now where future windows will be a bit calmer and we're just replacing two or three members of the squad with quality rather than these enforced wholesale changes that we've made in this window. So there will be comparisons to other players who are being touted for different fees. I think my argument last week that if the fee became unpalatable, we should look at plan B and plan C remains relevant in every deal that we try to do. But ultimately, I'm pleased that Morgan Gibbs-White's landed. I think he's the right profile of player for us. He's got a point to prove. We've got a point to prove. And we look like a good match for each other.
Yes, you mentioned signing sprees and all that kind of stuff. So a little tip of the hat here to Mikey's nephew, Jake, who pointed out Forest's window this time 5 years ago. This time 5 years ago, 2017, Forest signed in the summer. Daryl Murphy for about $2 million from Newcastle. Liam Bridcut, Jason Cummings, Tendai Tariqua, Barry Mackay, Joe Lolly, Figueiredo, Colback, Stefanos Capino, Ben Watson, Adlen Guadiora, Andreas Boutilakis, Kieran Dow, Liam Bossin, and I think Lee Tomlin. And that is a long list with a very mixed bag of results there. I mean, it shows the number of signings for Forest isn't necessarily anything new, but the volume and the quality, it just shows we're in a different world now, aren't we?
And the third thing I've added to that is the age profile. So you're signing guys who are generally under 26, in some cases a lot younger. And at some point in their contract, they're going to be a saleable asset. They're either going to improve and add value, or they're going to become surplus requirements, and it's going to be easier to ship them out for a fee. And I think that's really savvy recruitment. And that's a big part of what Dane is becoming known for and has been known for elsewhere, in addition to the rest of the football department there. So yeah, we are shopping in a different supermarket, which we seem to have said on a weekly basis. But lining those two windows up side by side, 5 years apart, you can see the difference in quality and the difference in the profile of the player that's arriving and the knowledge we already have of what they're capable of. So Forest have come an awful long way during the period in which they've been under Greek ownership, and the ambition shown in this window. And I have to say, I think the structure of the signings, the quality, the age profile, the balance of the squad points to a really good plan being in place.
A couple of questions, really. What do we need to see from Gibbs-White to justify the fee? And then what's Forest's best attacking lineup now? With the players we've got at hand, we'll come on to future transfers a little bit in a minute, but what's the best front three or however you think they line up now? And what does Gibbs-White need to deliver this season?
So the success of his transfer will be viewed in goals and assists. Simple as that. I think that from an attacking midfielder, you want to see production and output. And that's all that means in his role. We're not going to count his tackles and his headers. He's in that position to make life easier for the strikers and to chip in with goals himself, as he did last year. I'm really struggling to pick a best 11 And I think we're at a point here where there is going to be an element of rotation and tinkering week to week. Whereas this stage last year, we're probably debating between selecting three of those four players in centre mid. I'm looking down in front of me already and I'm thinking Mangala or Froehler. How do we juxtapose Lingard and Gibbs-White? Are we going to stick with two up top? Dennis, Awoniyi, Johnson competing for that. Surridge perhaps losing a few minutes. I think it's really, really tough to pick a team at the minute, but that's how it has to be because the games are going to come thick and fast. We're going to have injuries. We've seen that on the left side at the minute. If I was picking a team for the weekend, Matt, I'd probably start with Awoniyi and Johnson with Lingard in behind. But I want to get Froehler in there. I wonder if he might perhaps come in for Mangala. I don't know. I think it would be tough to start Dennis, but I think he gets a significant amount of minutes off the bench. I think the back three remains unchanged. The wide boys probably remain unchanged. But yeah, you can see Steve Cooper already having a selection headache, which is just a brilliant thing in week three after a victory over West Ham. What do you think?
Well, I think you go with the same starting 11 in isolation because you beat West Ham. I think that the players who played there played really well and deserve another game. I think the good thing is what we were saying about depth, really. And I said this on Monday's podcast, you know, no disrespect to players like Maiten, Hammond, Taylor, Cafu, people like that. Good squad players at championship level. Some of them have potential to be good Premier League players. But now when you look at the bench and Cooper looks at the bench, potentially on Saturday, he's going to see Froehler, Koyate, Emmanuel Dennis, Surridge. And, you know, those players can change a game. And I think that's why Forest have gone for these players. In the longer term, I'm not sure. Possibly Johnson in certain games, just for his pace as one up front with Gibbs-White and Lingard behind them. You can play Awoniyi as the more physical presence. At least they've got options now. And I think that's the big thing that was lacking. I suppose that leads us on to where do we end now in terms of recruitment? I've seen it tweeted out that ends in the Omope interest. And I don't know about this Hossein Awoor interest. No one in the English media has picked up on it. I'd not heard literally anything about it, but French media was going wild with it. Do Forest have to stop now? Have they got enough? Or do you want to see Awoor come? What do you think?
Yeah, I do, because I've been seduced by YouTube videos over the last 3 days of what he does at his best. And my reading of the situation is that Forest can afford to do the deal, and it's up to him to decide if he can bear, if you like, potentially having a scrap in the bottom third, you know, lower mid-table portion of the Premier League. Whereas I'm looking at this through a slightly different lens now, and I've already had some of my mates texting me asking about FFP and the like. There's no inclination, thought process, planning at Forest for what if we go down. It's not happening. We're signing these players to establish what we think other safe, secure mid-table teams have in the Premier League in terms of quality and depth. And I think that's a huge shift in mindset, that the spending and the quality has certainly surpassed what I thought would happen in this window. And you can only register 25 players, notwithstanding the allowances that are made for younger members of the squad. And some of the key Forest players will be exempt from that 25, which is handy, obviously. I would be excited to see Hossein Awoor, if that's how we're pronouncing it, signed from Lyon. I think he's another X-factor player. He's another bit of quality that you could start or inject late in the game if you needed to make a change. Same 11, as we did against West Ham at the weekend, then the players we could inject include Froehler, Koyate, Yates, Dennis, Morgan Gibbs-White, Surridge, Maiten. Their impact changes. They're people you can throw on if you're 1-0 down. There's people you can throw on if you're 1-0 up and want to try and contain the game. So we're getting towards the end of the activity now. I don't think we're done. I think we'll see one or two more. I'd be excited about Awoor. I don't necessarily think we need him.
Yeah, I'm a bit torn on that one. Like, he's obviously very good. I think your point about a potential scrap in the bottom third, would worry me. I think maybe, I don't, maybe we'd be better saving the money for January, because there has to be a ceiling, like you say, with FFP. I don't know what, where Forest are at with it, to be honest. Obviously, we don't see the books. I don't know. French players, like, I was trying to think of French players attacking mids who come over. They're a bit hit and miss, aren't they? Like Laurent Robert was really good, but then Hatem Ben Arfa was so hot and cold. I think, like with Gibbs White, I know it's a lot of money, but you know, I think we know a bit more about what we're going to get from him, and Cooper knows a lot more about what we're going to get from him. So if I was sat here right now, I would probably say stop until January. But then if we're in big trouble in December, we'll be saying, well, we should have signed someone else in January. So it's a difficult one, isn't it? But at least they're going for it. Are you quite comfortable not going in for Mopay now then?
Yeah, I think so. As I said, the two up top worked on at the weekend, and the combination of power and pace between Awoniyi and Johnson is a pretty typical blend. But there will be games when we play one up front, and particularly if we're trying to accommodate Lingard and Gibbs White in the same team, there'll be times when we play two in the slot behind the lone striker. So if we've got Dennis, Awoniyi and Johnson competing for two places 75% of the time and one place 25% of the time, then I think the more pay signing is unwarranted. I feel bad for players that have done really well for us and haven't been there for a particularly long period of time, and now just find themselves sliding down the pecking order a bit. And Surridge might be a victim of that. And I love Sam Surridge. I think he's been one of the most impactful signings of the last few years. But you struggle to see him starting a game in the company that he's in now, and I really hope he can still have a role to play and force himself into the reckoning, because some of the moments he's produced in the last 6 or 7 months have been of real quality. But the pressure he's facing now for his place is immense, and I hope he can rise to it.
Yeah, I agree. I hope they can find room for him on the bench still. I know he's not going to be a prolific scorer, but he is a good finisher, and if a chance falls to him with 10 minutes to go, I still back him to take it. So, I agree about that. A fly has just landed on my teacup and like a tour of the rim, so now I can't drink that. That's really annoying. I'm in this tiny room, so I can't even swat it away. What else was I going to say? Do they need anywhere strengthening anywhere else now, do you think? The only position I could think of potentially is left back, where they've obviously gone in for a few players. Toffolo did really well against West Ham. Does that end that debate, or would you still like to see one more come in? Because Rich is going to be out for a while, I think.
Yeah, Toffolo much improved, wasn't he? I think he's probably seen off competition from Colback for that early season, covering that position. He's definitely the boy getting the first chance, assisted the goal extremely well, and just looked a bit more composed. The one thing that bothered me a little bit at the weekend was how easy their wide players were able to get at our fullbacks. So there wasn't a wide press from the midfield. It was quite a narrow, condensed, you know, industrious, busy midfield. But Cresswell overlapping Benrahma, or Benrahma carrying the ball himself, was able to get to the fullback without any real pressure. And I just wondered if we could do a little bit more to protect the fullbacks, who seemed a bit more isolated than they would have been against Championship opposition. But Toffolo made a good account of himself. I expect to see him in there again at the weekend. I don't know how far Omar Richards is away, but clearly the plan is to get him rehabilitated in the back of the side as soon as we can. But Toffolo has proved a few doubters wrong after a wobbly start against Newcastle. And yeah, fair play to him for that. It was important that he sprung back, and he did.
Yeah, I suppose Lingard's the luxury player in a sense, isn't he, in terms of getting an extra man in midfield to make that extra press out wide. But Forrester, they go into play, aren't they? They're not going to... Everything's geared to playing this particular way, which is attacking. So I guess we have to ride the storm out a bit, don't we, and accept that, especially at home, we're going to be open and let teams have chances. Hopefully not every game, you know, they hit the bar twice, have a goal ruled out, and they miss a penalty. But it's going to be entertaining, I think, isn't it?
Certainly. West Ham game is a case in point, right? We could have taken the lead earlier on, and equally they could have had two or three goals. Are we going to talk about VAR at any point? Have you already covered that?
Well, you can add it. We covered it a bit. Why? Would you think it was wrong?
No, just that I saw the best and the worst of it. And from being a casual fan of the Premier League over the last few years, it's been much derided. But I celebrated as hard as anyone when their goal was disallowed. But every time that symbol flashes up on the scoreboard in the ground, your heart sinks, or you're already on the edge of your seat in anticipation of a positive outcome if it's affecting the opposition. But I hadn't appreciated until I was at the City Ground at the weekend just how big an impact those periods of time, which is often a minute, 90 seconds, can have on the game. Now, look, we came out on both sides of it at the weekend. It disallowed their goal. It disallowed our goal. But for me, it really affected the rhythm of the match. And yeah, I haven't formed an opinion yet if I'm for and against it. I suppose anecdotally, that'll be down to how much Forest benefit from it or otherwise. But it did change the experience for me inside the stadium.
One thing we haven't mentioned, I'm trying to catch this fly while I'm talking to you. I want it to go in the mug. One thing that I haven't asked you, people in the comments are saying about Brennan. Is there a possibility he has to have some bench time now? I kind of hope not, because I think his ceiling's so big that the more he plays, the better he's going to get. But is there a bit of a worry there now for him?
No, I'd start him. I think he's got limitless potential. And we forget the age he's at, the journey he's been on from dominating League One, dominating the Championship. You know, he's coming towards the peak of the mountain now, and he's finding the terrain really tough. But stick with him, because what he's got is rare. He's rapid, but he's also composed. And the maturity and the simplicity of some of his finishing now is just incredible. I mean, look, he was marginally offside, right? And he'll learn about how tight those margins are in the Premier League. But the finish for the disallowed goal, the deftness of that chip over the advancing keeper was top end. I'm keeping faith with Brennan. I still think his goal involvement, goals plus assists, will be greater than anybody else in this team this year. And I'm right behind him.
Yeah, me too. I'd stick with him and give him at least 10 games. I think he'll get goals, certainly against... Yeah, it's going to be tough to score against Man City and Spurs. Obviously, you wouldn't rule it out, but I think he'll come into his own once these first few games are out of the way. Let's talk about this game. Point a good result still, I think it is. But what do you think? Everton, it's, every away game's tough, but Everton feel like one of those teams you might be able to target where they're at right now.
Yeah, I agree completely, Matt. So we did see a massive difference between application and the outcome against Newcastle away and West Ham at home. And there's a renewed confidence now, I think, that we can handle ourselves on our own turf. So now it's about risk and reward on the road, because we do need to pick up points there. And you do it in a slightly different way. You can't leave yourself quite so exposed. But I think this is one of the games where we'll set up to have a go. And not with reckless intent, but just appreciating that's a team that, despite a reasonable start to the season, they haven't quite fared as badly as everybody perhaps thought to this point. They could be there for the taking, and we should have more confidence going into this game than we would have against Newcastle. So a draw is a good result, but I think we're gonna push. I think we're gonna set up to try and score goals and to try and nick it. I don't think you'll see an ultra defensive performance against Everton at Goodison.
No, I agree. I think Everton still don't have a striker. They're still linked with Ben Brereton, actually, who I think would be a good signing, but it feels like now's the time to get at them. I might contradict myself a little bit. Do you think maybe just to start the game, it might be wise to play that third man in midfield? Because the Newcastle game and the West Ham game were so chalk and cheese that Guimaraes and Joe Linton dominated our midfield. I don't know. Everton aren't the same. They've got the new boy, is it Onana? I don't know what else they've got in midfield, but is that insurance policy maybe worth considering, do you think, or not?
What, so stick Freuler in with Mangala and O'Brien and perhaps drop one of the strikers?
Yeah. Have Lingard in the hole. Yeah, so are you dropping... I mean, I don't know who you leave out. Maybe Awoniyi, maybe Lingard. Like I said, I still play Johnson. And then you have Freuler sitting a bit deeper and giving some extra protection. But do you need that against Everton, who don't look like they can hit a barn door? I know they scored one goal, but they don't look as much of a threat going forwards.
Yeah, I think I perhaps would start like that, because it's easier to make a change for attacking with attacking intent rather than reining it in again. So I think whipping a striker off for Freuler as the game evolves is probably not the one. So it'll come down to how well he's trained, how well acclimatised he is, how much time he's had to learn the patterns and gain a bit of an understanding. But he's a class act, isn't he? He's the conductor. as he's been nicknamed, pulling the strings. So we're going to want to get him in there, get him integrated, get him starting as soon as we can. So, yeah, perhaps we should stick a three in there. I think that's probably the big debate that Cooper's having tactically. Although I'll say this, we haven't seen him veer very far from his formation during the period in which he's been successful at Forest. So, yeah, maybe if I'm playing Football Manager, it's what I would do. But having seen Cooper over the last 10 months or so now, my suspicion is while he may tinker with the personnel, he'll keep faith with the system.
What's the best midfield in the long term, do you think? Because O'Brien was so good, I'd love to see him stay in there. But Froehler and Mangala look like they've got that touch of class.
Exactly. So O'Brien's got to work hard to stay there, hasn't he? He was top quality at the weekend. But on past reputation and the level they've played at, Mangala and Froehler are the class players. But I love that. You know, everybody's CV, reputation has got them there, has earned them the wages, has commanded the fee. But ultimately, they're going to pick a team based on how well they play and how well they train. So if O'Brien can maintain that shirt, we haven't even mentioned Ryan Yates today, who's been training and could be in contention very soon. Great for Forrest. You know, he's going to be, if he keeps out Mangala or Froehler on merit, then fair play to him. We'll all get behind him. But yeah, on paper, Froehler needs to be integrated into this side ASAP. And Lewis O'Brien could be a victim of that if his form suffers. But he was really excellent against West Ham on the weekend.
Yeah, and we didn't even mention Koyate, who is the defensive midfielder who's bought in for that scenario as well. Whether he could start, I don't know. And
I don't think he starts. I think Koyate for me is we're shutting up shop with 15 minutes to go to protect this point or protect this lead. Mm. I think I watched him quite a bit when I was working at London Stadium when he was at West Ham. Watched a lot of Koyate and defensively minded. Ball winner, excellent, but he's not going to spray a 45-yard diagonal or beat three or four players. He's extremely good at disrupting, anticipating, frustrating the opposition. But he's not a starter for me, and I don't think it's the plan to accommodate him as a starter in too many situations this season.
Yeah. I guess the plan, the hope would be that, like we saw O'Brien against West Ham, very different kind of breaking up play, but he got about Declan Rice and he read a lot of passes. And if we can have someone who can do that all the time, then you can have that extra quality on the ball. Last one, because a few people asking it in the comments. James Garner, I have to move on now, or because he's so young and got so much potential. The couple of these players coming in are the wrong side of 30. Can you shell out 15 million quid on someone and not have them involved all the time?
I don't see how you can, because we've got five boys competing for two places at the minute in centre mid. So Mangala and O'Brien in possession, Yatesy, Froehler, Koyate knocking on the door. Lingard and Gibbs White scrapping for the number 10 role, and Dennis competing with Avani and Johnson. So Garner for me needs to be playing Premier League football. Really like him. I think he was a wizard for his last year, wasn't he? And I've spoken a lot about his quality from set pieces. But I just don't think we could keep him happy. And I think if we did keep him happy, we'd be frustrating one of these other players that we're frustrated about. So, yeah, I don't want to bag the individual because he's top draw. And if he'd have been available at the start of the window, it would absolutely have been part of the plan to sign him. But for me, having landed Gibbs White, having landed Froehler and Mangala in particular, and with O'Brien looking like the player we hoped he was, I think the time is right to move on from James Garner.
Me too. I mean, it feels like an odd move to go from Manchester United's bench to Nottingham Forest bench, really. It's even a conceivable case that it's easier for him to get a Man United's team in the longer term than it is Forest team, which we never thought we'd be saying when, you know, 5 years ago when we were signing Liam Pridcut and players like that. But McTominay and Fred, Donny van der Beek, I don't know if they get in Forest team now. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
But it's what conversations are Dean Henderson and Jesse Lingard having about Man United at the minute? I mean, they must be having a bit of a wry smile that a team that has cast them off as surplus to requirements is having such a rough ride. Ronaldo wants out. you can see the frustration on the manager's face already. And the lad that we care about is sat on the bench twiddling his thumbs, waiting for an opportunity that's not coming. And there's no way Ten Hag's going to stake his reputation on James Garner. And that's a mistake for me, because what Man United have lost is what Forest have got at the minute. In Joe Worrall, Brennan Johnson, Ryan Yates, we're celebrating three boys that have come through the ranks, done really well, and are living with the level. Jimmy Garner's come up through the ranks. I think he can live with the level. Gone out on loan, been really impressive, been really professional. He's come back and they won't use him. And while he sat there, the Old Trafford's just on fire and everyone's trying to get out. So I think they've haplessly mismanaged Jimmy Garner. And while I don't think he'll come to Forest now, I really hope he gets the move that he deserves and goes on to achieve a lot in the game, because, yeah, he's a jet.
Yeah, I mean, Forest have signed young players like Nico Williams and people like that are going to get better. And Man United are signing, you know, Marco Arnautovic, trying to sign Jamie Vardy, the ghost of Dixie Dean. I don't know. It feels like our transfer policy is a little more in tune than theirs at the moment. I think we'll leave it there. Anything you want to add before we depart?
No, nothing for me, Matt. Still loving life as a Forest fan. Looking forward to the weekend. And yeah, I will say one thing, actually, because I wasn't on earlier in the week. The noise at the City Ground at the weekend was just unbelievable. And if it's going to be like that week in, week out, we've got more than a fair chance of mixing it in this league. I just had, you know, a really good day out. And yeah, I could tell that everybody in that place left smiling, absolutely loved it. And that feel-good factor, I hope, continues for the rest of the season.
Me too, as does everyone who's watched along. Very grateful to you all for joining us. Lots of comments, too many comments again to flash up on the screen, but appreciate them very much. It does make a difference. If you like this, do like and subscribe, and subscribe on YouTube. Give us a review on iTunes, all that stuff. From Monday, I'm supposed to read out some sponsorship announcements, so they'll be filtered in. So we're selling our souls, but it certainly helps the podcast grow. So thanks to everyone who watched along. We'll be back on Monday with Mikey and a guest to be confirmed, but it should be good as we review the Everton game, and we shall see if Forest have signed anyone else by the time we next join you. But in the meantime, thanks very much, and we shall see you soon.